By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine. By the grace of Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك Ya Nur Allah, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to our program, Rise and Shine. Alhamdulillah, each and every single day, we also have a new guest as well as a new topic. Let's begin by listening to the beautiful verses of the glorious Quran. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس صدق الله العظيم
صلوا الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم الحمد لله. We have listening to the beautiful verses of the Holy Quran, and subsequent to the glorious Quran, we listen to the naat of the greatest of mankind, Rasulullah صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم.
صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله وسلم عليك يا حبيب الله جینے کی طرف دیکھ نہ مرنے کی طرف دیکھ جب چوٹ لگے دل کو مدینے کی طرف دیکھ کیا دنیا کھاتی ہے خیرات مدینے کی صلی اللہ علیک یا رسول اللہ وسلم علیک یا حبیب اللہ شمع رسالت ہے، تو شمع رسالت ہے، عالم تیرا پروانہ، تو ماہ نبوت ہے، تو ماہ نبوت ہے، نبوت ہے آقا، تو ماغ نبوت ہے، اے جلوہ جانانا، گر پڑ کے یہاں پہنچا آقا، مر کے اسے پایا، گر پڑ کے یہاں پہنچا، مر کے اسے پایا، چھوٹے نہ الہی اب، چھوٹے نہ الہی اب، سنگ در جانا تو شمع رسالت ہے، تو شمع رسالت ہے آقا، عالم تیرا پروانہ، پیتے ہیں تیرے در کا، کھاتے ہیں تیرے در کا، پیتے ہیں تیرے در کا آقا، کھاتے ہیں تیرے در کا، پیتے ہیں تیرے در کا آقا، کھاتے ہیں تیرے در کا، پانی ہے تیرا پانی، پانی پانی ہے تیرا پانی، دانا ہے تیرا دانا، پانی ہے تیرا پانی، دانا ہے تیرا دانا، تو شمع رسالت ہے، عالم تیرا پروانہ، اور وہ کہتے نہ کہتے کچھ، وہ کرتے نہ کرتے کچھ، وہ کہتے نہ کہتے کچھ، وہ کرتے نہ کرتے کچھ، کاش وہ سن لیتے، کاش وہ سن لیتے مجھ سے میرا افسانہ، اے کاش وہ سن لیتے مجھ سے میرا افسانہ، تو شمع رسالت ہے، تو شمع رسالت ہے آقا، عالم تیرا پروانہ، تو ماغ نبوت ہے، تو ماغ نبوت ہے، اے جلوہ جانانا، آباد اسے فرما، دل نوری آباد اسے فرما، آقا ویراہ دل نوری آباد اسے فرما، آقا ویراہ دل نوری، بس جائے جلوے تیرے بس جائے آقا جلوے تیرے بس جائے جلوے تیرے بس جائے آباد ہو ویرانہ جلوے تیرے بس جائے آقا جلوے تیرے بس جائے آباد ہو ویرانہ تو شمع رسالت ہے آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے عالم تیرا پروانہ تو ماہ نبوت ہے اے جلوہ جانانا ہر پھول میں بو تیری ہر شمع میں زو تیری ہر پھول میں بو تیری ہر شمع میں زو تیری بلبل ہے تیرا بلبل بلبل ہے تیرا بلبل بلبل ہے تیرا بلبل پروانہ ہے پروانہ تو شمع رسالت ہے تو شمع رسالت ہے عالم تیرا پروانہ تو ماہِ نبوت ہے تو ماہِ نبوت ہے اے جلوہ جانانا سرکار کے جلووں سے روشن ہے دل نوری سرکار کے جلووں سے روشن ہے دل نوری تا حشر رہے روشن روشن تا حشر رہے روشن یہ کاشانہ تو شمع رسالت ہے آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے عالم تیرا پروانہ تو ماہ نبوت ہے اے جلوہ جانانا
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم اے ویورز آف رائز اینڈ شائن ویورز آف مدنی چینل الحمدللہ عز و جل یو آر واچنگ رائز اینڈ شائن Now, each and every single day, mashallah, we have a new mobile league, a new topic. Today, again, as usual, mashallah, Ammar bhai. Wow, subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him. Jazakallahu khair, Ammar bhai, for joining us. Now, Ammar bhai, alhamdulillah, after listening to the tilawat of the Quran, the na'at of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I was just mentioning a little about the importance of preparing for hajj. I know this is not our topic. You've been to performed or Umrah and possibly Hajj too. Am I correct?
Yeah.
SubhanAllah, you have. What were your experiences?
I think generally,
First, was it you performed? Well, generally, obviously, you perform Umrah. But, I mean, did you perform Hajj and Umrah separate, on separate occasions?
Yeah. Initially, I went, I think, when I was 15. At that point, we went to perform Umrah.
So, you went to perform Umrah yeah. and then... And you went for perform Hajj when?
Around about, I think, 3 or 4 years ago.
So about 3-4 years
recent
ago.
Recent compared to right. Umrah Sharif.
Right, mashallah. So your first time experience, so when you performed Umrah then, what was the experience?
Yeah, I think in general, you know, Umrah and Hajj,
right,
you cannot compare them. They are totally different in terms of, because obviously the Hajj experience is a totally different world. And then on the other hand, you have the, especially the first time when you're going, and when you see the blessed Kaaba.
What do you mean by you can't compare them? Meaning Hajj is so much better that there's no comparison, or that they're both extraordinary in their own ways?
They're both obviously extraordinary, but Hajj is like, it encompasses the acts that you do in Umrah, but it has those extra acts which are really, you know, they shape you as a person. For example, when we speak about being tested in terms of your patience,
right,
being tested in terms of your temper, not losing your temper, you know, not becoming angry, all of these things. And you will, one way or the other, you will be tested. And this is the ultimate test, that you know that you are on this sacred journey of Hajj, and you don't want to spoil anything. So how well do you control yourself? And if a person can control himself there, that's an indication that if he wants, he is able to control himself. He usually just chooses to lose it because ego comes in and so on and so forth. And you'll see, obviously, unfortunately, there do be people who have not like a physical preparation. And this is something when somebody wants to go on Hajj or Umrah, they focus on.
Yeah, they focus on
the But problem. There is the other preparation.
Because they're coming to shopping, doesn't it? I need to do my Hajj shopping. Another excuse to do some sort of shopping.
I know. Also because physically there are certain things that need to be met, you know, your ihram and stuff, so you need to go and make those physical preparations. But we must keep in mind, with everything pretty much, you know, in the Islamic teachings, we have, for example, when it comes to purity, we have the outer purity, likewise the inner purity, purity of the heart. In any way, in any worship you do, your state of the heart and your intentions are fundamental and they're taken into account. So likewise, when you go on Hajj, as well as your physical preparation, your mental and your spiritual preparation is a must. So you need to ensure that you have read literature, like for example, Sidi Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatum al-Aliya's book, and gone and attended those gatherings within the Dawat Islami that are provided in order to train the Hujjaj, those people going on Hajj, how to get the most out of this journey. And unfortunately, this is one aspect we miss. So what I mean is, when you go on Hajj, it's a different journey, because even Umrah, when you go on Umrah, yes, you will be tested. There will be times when something's not according to how you would like it, or something that doesn't, that you aren't able to understand, or there might be mismanagement or whatever you think. But it's on a bigger scale in Hajj, and it's understandable because there are millions of people. And then you have, for example, when you go and spend time in Muzdalifah, then you just, people are constantly coming, trying to find a spot to spend their night there. And, you know, so you're under the open sky and you've got people all around you. You might be trying to get some rest and then somebody just walks over you and you can't get sleep. Anything could happen. But that, if you look at it from the point that this is training me to be a better person,
Allah, Allah, Allah.
This is actually making me a better Muslim, this is my test to see, do I now lash out at this person, or do I control myself? And when you look at it from that perspective, the whole journey just becomes so enjoyable. It's like every place you go,
meaning there you're a true traveler.
Yeah,
in the true sense.
Traveler.
Yeah, the olden days, a traveler is, for example, there's no signs of traveling upon him. Meaning that this person, if he had clean clothes, he was not a traveler. If a person had clean clothes, that's a sign that this person
nice
is not
tidy,
a traveler, yes.
Very organized.
Because whenever somebody would travel, their clothes would be dirty due to the effects of traveling. Whereas us, when we sit in the car, 2 hours later, we'll get out of the car, we'll be perfectly normal. You can attend a wedding.
Yeah, you go to attend a wedding.
You go to a wedding. And you're looking just as brilliant when you've arrived. Now, even if you have to go from one country to another country, if you have to go from here to, for example, Jaziratul Arab, or from here to Pakistan, Bab al-Madinah, Karachi, to meet Amir al-Sunnat, when you leave the plane, you're still fresh. It's just that long journey. It's not really much of a journey, is it? And people think, oh, you know, you need to rest. No, it's not whatsoever. It's a nice, comfortable journey. You've eaten properly. Now, some people don't like, you know, the airplane food. For example, myself, I can't eat airplane food. Very, very difficult for me. But, you know, you've got shops on the way. You can take food with you. It's so simple. Traveling is so easy in this day and age. But my dear viewers, if you wish to gain an experience, a little experience of being a true traveler, even nowadays there's buses, but you can walk, so those people who do walk the entire way, that's a brilliant experience of understanding how traveling was. And it's only a part, you see, because in the olden days, I know we need to move on from this, but when people would go there, for example, we're going on plane, people would cross continents, you know, walking or going on horse, and then they would get a ship possibly if they needed to. And that's how they would arrive there. Whereas we've gone on a plane, and then the only walking we'll do, if we do the walking, it's good, mashallah, we should do walking. We'll walk from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Mina. Nowadays it's buses, majority of people, I'm sure, go on bus store there. But there are still many people that walk. So from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Mina, from Mina to Arafah, from Arafah to Muzdalifah, and then back to Mina. This is all the walking we do, which is quite a lot. Which is quite a lot. But it's still nothing compared to what used to happen in the previous eras. And what the previous awliya Allah used to do when they would, for example, Hazrat Awaisi Qarni radhiya anhu, when he would walk from Yemen all the way up until Jaziratul Arab, my dear viewers. But there is that experience where you're sleeping in the open air. There's, you know, in Mina you have tents, don't you? For example, Muzdalifah, you don't, and you'll be sleeping in open air, subhanAllah. You feel like
a
traveler.
This is also a quick point for us to keep in mind. Those that, you know, have the means, financial means and everything, to be able to go to Hajj, and then they still delay it, despite having the ability to go. Now, this is a sin. And secondly, if we look at how we were to speak about the past, sometimes people have traveled for months, completed a journey of a month or 2 months in order to get to Makkah al-Mukarramah. So there they're working by their best estimation that what happens if you are just 1 day late? You go there, but you've traveled for a few months, but you've just missed Hajj by 1 day. What happens then? So this is the sort of journey that people would undertake, and there would be that risk. If I am delayed by 1 day, I have traveled all this way, but unfortunately I have not been able to complete my Hajj because the time for it has gone. So now, alhamdulillah, we have these facilities. But at the same time, when we look at those people, the journeys they undertook, because they had that, along with the physical preparation, because they had something in their heart, they had this desire to visit the beautiful cities of Makkah al-Mukarramah and Madinah al-Munawwarah, and they knew the excellences of doing so. And this is the part we're missing.
SubhanAllah, to bring that atmosphere,
Allah.
To bring about the atmosphere. You see, Amarbay, because sometimes what happens is, you know, you've not got anything around you. You just think, yeah, you booked your tickets, that's it. You continue your life as normal, and then suddenly, oh, that's it, you're there. And then you think, oh, now, well, you know, what do I do? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So many viewers of Inshallah, I'm just trying to build the atmosphere around us where, you know, you keep hearing about Hajj, or Inshallah soon we'll be going on Hajj, soon this shall happen, and then we'll be going to, and mentioning these names, you know, Mina. So it's not the first time when you go there, what's Mina? Who's Mina? Who's Mina? Allahu Akbar. No, these are the places which we must go to during our Hajj pilgrimage, inshallah wa azzal. As usual, we have a picture of the day. Today's picture, mashallah, is exciting. It is something that inshallah will bring a smile to your face. Let's take a look at today's picture. Amar Bhai, there's a lot of smiles there. There's many smiles. And these smiles have some price tags to themselves, you can say. They have price tags on them. Marvay?
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Are his pockets inside out, or?
He's... I'm not going to explain what that means, in fact, because I'll be giving it away.
Would you be? Oh. I didn't know that.
Generally, what do we see there? Just explain what
so
we
you
see.
You just got smiles or teeth? Smiles slash teeth.
There's a lot of teeth
on them.
What do you call those teeth which the elderly, those people who lose the teeth and then they put them?
I don't know. Artificial? I don't know. I don't really know the proper word for them.
And I don't know if they do have a proper word for them. Just possibly just artificial or possibly we call them fake gowy, fake
yeah,
teeth.
Yeah, I don't really want to we say fake you know, teeth.
Are they real or fake? So many views of Madani channel. There's many fake teeth or artificial teeth. His window shopping is what you call.
Yeah.
That's what it's called, isn't it? When you have no money and you just go there to look.
You can see the one there at the bottom. There are no teeth, so that's definitely a smile.
Right, there's one there at the bottom. They're just lips. So this is lips along with the teeth.
Well, yeah.
So this is lips along with the teeth. And then he has his pockets turned inside out, Madhi viewers of Madhini channel. If it could be placed full screen, if you take another look at his own face, I don't know if you've realized.
Well, you can only see one side of it, but you can sort of see that he's
If you were to turn that way, I would still be able to see part of your mouth.
Yeah, that's true. Now, you can see one side of it.
It doesn't stand from the right side of Marbai, does it?
Judging from the side, it just looks like he's... pretty, not very expressive, not smiling. Seems pretty, I don't know. I wouldn't say it's frowning, it's just a very straight face.
It doesn't show a mouth, it just shows this as plain, meaning all this skin covering the entire thing. I don't know if you can see clearly, it's possible because the screen is a little far away.
I understand what you're saying.
Have you understood what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
Inshallah, then I hope you could say a lot more about that picture, Marba, when your turn comes. So, my dear viewers of Madani channel, alhamdulillah, that is our picture of the day. Marba, alhamdulillah, today's topic is being soft. Now, where do we begin?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So, softness, I think firstly you have to clarify some misconceptions. It doesn't mean that because when you say, okay, being soft, straight away it comes to a person's mind, no, people are going to walk all over me, this and that. So, it does not mean firstly, softness here means softness in the light of the teachings of Islam. So, automatically there will be certain places where it is appropriate to express that you are annoyed, that you are angered by this. So, it's not like you're, okay, say, just being very passive and then everything happened. So there will be points where you need to express that. But predominantly, just generally, most of the times, expressing that good character and that softness. So this is something, and I also want to touch upon, because we have, I think, here and there with the other topics, touched upon softness.
Yeah.
So what we also want to discuss today is though, how do we obtain that? How do we instill that within ourselves, within our character? And it comes down to realistically, fundamentally one or two things. But if we firstly look at the blessed life of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his character, the society that he's brought up in, you're considered manly the more cruel and the more violent you are. But this is the society that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been sent to. And he grew up in this society. But because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him indeed from any influences around his society, rather made him an influence amongst other people in order to be able to influence and change the lives of other people. So our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, despite the society that he grew up in, when we look at his character, one very famous incident, like Lisina Zayd bin Sa'ana radiallahu anhu, who was a scholar of Tawrat. So before actually accepting Islam, he came to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in a very, what you could term as a rude way, in a very inappropriate way, he demanded, because the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had bought some dates from him. So when it came to giving those dates or the payment back, He came to demand that before the actual time was over. And he pulled the blessed shawl of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a violent way. And he says, you, Banu Hashim, you have this routine that you borrow things or you take things, but when it comes to time to paying back, you guys back out.
Allah.
You don't pay back. And he's saying all of these things in a very inappropriate way. And this is the Sahaba, the blessed Sahaba sat there. They're very, you can see, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he sees this and he is instantly very angered by this. So he threatens Sina Zayd radiallahu anhu. And the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at this point, knowing firstly that it is not yet the time to pay back, that he still has some time, and this person is clearly coming, very hostile, and he is physically holding on to the clothing of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verbally saying things which aren't friendly in one sense, you could say. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he reacts to this, and the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that, "Oh Umar, what are you saying? You should be telling me to fulfill his right,
Allah.
And you should be telling him to demand it in a soft manner,
Allah.
In a nice way. So then you can assist and help both of us." This is the humbleness of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had the authority. He could have said to the companions, you know, deal with this person. Who does he think he is? Why is he coming to me like this? But the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching a clear lesson to his followers. And he says, "Oh Umar radiallahu anhu, you should be telling me to give back his right. And you should be advising him to ask it in an appropriate way, in a nice and soft way. And this way you will help both of us." So then he says, "Oh Umar radiallahu anhu, give this Sina Zayd bin Sa'ana, give him the dates that he needs, that are equivalent to the amount that he needs to be paid back, and give him extra on top of that."
Allah.
This is the person who has come, and in a gathering, he has tried to, ma'azallah, humiliate this blessed individual, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And look at the reaction of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, "Give him the dates that that are his right, and give him some more on top of that." So when Sina Umar radiallahu anhu gives him those dates, and he asks that, "Oh Umar radiallahu anhu, why did you give me the extra dates?"
Allah, Allah, Allah.
Sina Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, "Because I looked at you in a way that could have caused you distress, that could have hurt you. And just that, my reaction towards the situation, and my what I did, because of that, it might have hurt your feelings.
Allah.
So the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised me to give you extra."
Subhanallah.
And then Sayyidina Zayd bin Sa'ana radiallahu anhu, he says that, "Oh Umar, do you know who I am? I am Zayd. Zayd bin Sa'ana." And then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, "You are Zayd bin Sa'ana, the great scholar of Tawrat." And he says, "Yes. And I had witnessed all those signs that are mentioned in our book regarding the final Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
Allah.
The final Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I had witnessed all of these in the blessed personality of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there was only one sign left to witness."
Allah, Allah, Allah.
And what was that? That was that in the more ignorant character a person shows to him, the more forbearing and forgiving he becomes.
Allah.
The more generous he becomes. So he had in one sense come to check for that final attribute that he wanted to see. And he accepted Islam.
Allah.
So he did not want the dates in essence. What he really, and alhamdulillah, because of that soft character of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he accepted Islam.
Umar, by Allahu Akbar, such a beautiful, really beautiful story. But Umar, I want you to differentiate. You know, there's one thing which is softness and there's one which is weakness. You see, I don't want the viewers of Madinah channel to not understand that there's a difference between the two. The Prophet ﷺ was soft. He wasn't weak.
Well, I think generally, even just when we are speaking about the beloved Nabi ﷺ, you know, we already know he was an authoritative figure in the community. But for a normal person, softness, there is one thing where he voluntarily, for the sake of his Muslim brother.
This is a difference, isn't it?
Yeah, for the sake of his Muslim brother, even if that person is violating his rights, he voluntarily says, "I will sacrifice this for his sake." But he does it voluntarily.
Cool.
This is where you could say, okay, he is really now fulfilling the rights of a Muslim to the extent where he is giving preference to his brother over himself.
Allah.
And this would come under good character. But then there's the other one where where you are being dominated.
Weakness has been incapable, isn't it?
And you're incapable. You're unable to really voice, you know, yourself and demand your rights, even if you want them. So there you wouldn't say the person's being soft.
Yes.
He really has no option. However, the person who is oppressing him, definitely he is a sinner. And he will, you know, he is risking himself to be held accountable on the Day of Judgment. But with this, the softness and all of this, because these are characteristics, and these are things that you usually can choose to go ahead with. So in a situation where you are angered, you can choose to remain silent until you've cooled down, so you don't say anything that hurts this person's feeling. Or you can, you don't have a choice. You know, when we say about being patient or anything, it all comes down to choice. When you don't have a choice and you say, when you can't take your revenge and you say, well, I'm being patient, that doesn't work.
No,
patience is when you have the ability to take revenge and still, for the sake of Allah, you keep back, you stay back and you don't take your revenge. So it's the same with this softness. Softness, yeah, we're saying purposefully being soft. And this is where it's hard. Because if somebody has no choice, there's not much he can do about it. But when he has a choice...
You see, Ammar, I do know the story you mentioned. To get a good grasp of, or to truly acknowledge and understand this properly, correctly. Imagine a king. Firstly, not anybody can even go to the court of a king.
Allahu Akbar.
You see, just that this Hazrat Zayd radiallahu anhu was able to approach, directly approach Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, is the softness of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is one thing.
Subhanallah.
That generally you can't just go and approach a king. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, you know, amongst the greatest of, well, he's undoubtedly the greatest of king. No doubt about it, the king of all kings. Now, secondly, Ammar bhai, is when that individual, when he humiliated or attempted to, or it was a test, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But in fact, what did he do? In front of the companions, in front of the people of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did this. This wasn't private. This wasn't, you know, one-to-one. He was testing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No. This was in front of his companions. So now this is where the test gets even greater. One thing is, okay, you were to say something to me privately, now I may be harmed. Another is to say something to me in front of my, you could say subordinates, those who are not subordinates, those who are under yourself in the case of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now this, now it becomes even more difficult, much more difficult. Why? Because everybody's going to turn to you to see, you know, are you going to do something about this? Are you going to... Oh, that's where the true test is. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being the greatest of all people, being the most kind, the most loving individual, the most peaceful individual, there's nobody more peaceful than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who truly brought peace. In this instance, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciprocated in such a way, which was the best possible form of, you know, reacting, which was what? Give him even more. Be kind to him, be nice to him, you know, advise him. My dear viewers of the channel, this is a true example of the brilliant character of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Don't think the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was weak. Do not think he was weak. He was not weak. He was strong.
Well, like
yes,
said,
he was
he
known as Al-Amin.
To command anybody to deal with a person, but he did not do so. And this is what we're saying. He chose.
He chose, exactly.
He chose to be.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wasn't weak, was he? No way whatsoever. He was not weak. In fact, his strength, my dear viewers, you know, he would be strong. But yet, he chose to be soft. This is the important part. Well, alhamdulillah, you are watching Rise and Shine. And today we are speaking about softness. MashaAllah, we have Ammar bhai here with us. Ammar bhai, softness, is it always good to be soft?
No, like I clarified at the beginning, because there is this misconception, okay, well, softness means everybody's going to walk over you. So there is, when we say softness, we mean softness in the light of the teachings of Islam.
Right.
So obviously when it is appropriate for you to express your annoyance, your anger, you must
right.
do so. So there will come a point, for example, let's say you've been softly advising, our father's been advising his son softly for a while now, and there is no change. He's not, for example, he's not performing the salah. Now there, if he shows a bit more of a harsh character, maybe the son or the child goes to a prayer. And he knows that there is no way now with a soft, kind way, I'm not able to get him. I've tried everything. I've tried every trick in the book, but I cannot get him to go there. And just me expressing slight annoyance at him even would do the job. So now, what is good character at that point?
Right.
Is good character still continuing to remain soft, continuing to smile and so on and so forth? Rather, good character is now what is best for that person. If it's and if it's just me expressing slight annoyance would make him go and pray, that is best for him. So now good character and the demand of good character would be that you display your annoyance there at this point. You display, you show that you're crossed, you're not happy. And you will not be all of a sudden a person with bad character. You would actually, this is the essence of good character.
This is good character.
Expressing the right emotions at the right situation. So, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find there are points where the companions describe, radhiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, that the blessed color of the blessed face of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed because he was annoyed. He was angered by something. And at points where he clearly expressed his anger.
Right.
And, you know, in words, and told the person, do not do this or do this. So, if we say good character means just continuously smiling and not saying anything to anybody, even if they're sinning, because you will hurt their feelings, this is not the definition of good character. But on the other hand, you must keep in mind, and you know how I was saying, the ways to develop this softness within yourself. The ultimate way, one is the fact that you have to realize that the heart is the ruler or the king over your entire body and the body parts. So when your heart is soft, automatically you will find softness within your character. So this is why I was saying earlier as well with the outer and the inner actions. And softness and the hardness of the heart, this is something that Islam really focuses upon. Because if you have a hard heart, that means you aren't able to heed, you will not take in any advice. You will not listen to any advice that you're given. You will not find pleasure in carrying out good deeds. Somebody could advise you, somebody could tell you about the calamities of the Day of Judgment and so on and so forth, and it wouldn't have that much of an impact on you. And these are all, some of these are the many signs, some of these things that we've just said, these are some signs that are the many signs of a hard heart. And so when a person has a hard heart, automatically there's hardness in his character. And when he has a soft heart has the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A soft heart is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a soft heart that has the fear of Allah and the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instilled within it, automatically softness within character comes. And on the other hand, what you have is you must keep in mind your purpose behind your speaking. You know, when you're speaking to somebody, ultimately, what is your purpose? You want that person to hear you out, understand your message and act upon it.
Mm.
If your purpose is just to vent your anger, just to show that I'm strong, then maybe what you're doing, when you're shouting at him, when you're being harsh, that's fine. But if your purpose is for this person to truly take on board what you're saying, then you must, before speaking, judge what is the best way for me to say right now what I want to say, so that rather than him going into this defensive mode and thinking, wow, when is this guy going to end? When is he going to finish? Because he's just continuously irritated by the manner, the way that you're speaking. So at that point, you need to judge and gauge best what is the way for me to speak so that I can fulfill my purpose, which is he takes on board what I'm saying and thinks about it with a cool mind. So a lot of the times what happens is because somebody's annoyed us, we flip out straight away. We say, you have no clue what you're doing. You know, you're totally clueless. You have no idea what you've just done and this and that, and tell him everything. And all along when he's listening, he's building more hatred for you in his heart. And that is not the way. So you're not giving him time to you know, with a cool way. A lot of the times people aren't thinking, yeah, it was my fault, he's angry, this and that. People are thinking, why is he reacting in this way? Why is he so angry for? So we need to keep in mind, if our purpose is to make sure the person understands, then we need to speak in that way. If I tell him nicely, I can sit him down and say, look, you know, you did this, but do you know what that ended up in? Yeah, so this was the result. And is this the result we would have wanted? Is this the result we were after? No. Okay, so where was the mistake? And you're, just by this, you're guiding him through that whole process. And he's realizing, okay, yeah, I could have done that better. And if you, what you've done though, your ego may not be satisfied, because you really wanted to flip out of him. Oh. But what you have done though, is fulfilled your purpose of making sure that he understands that he has made a mistake, and he is not to make this mistake again, and he understands to a certain extent how he can avoid this mistake in the future.
Hey, my dear viewers of Madhya Inshallah, each and every single day we have a reminder of the day. Let's take a quick look at today's picture, and then inshallah we shall go to the reminder. So we have a picture, a man who's, as we've said, is window shopping. Window shopping is when you have no money to purchase, or maybe you have money, and is that right? Maybe you have money and you're just looking without the intention of purchasing anything.
Window shopping is usually just browsing around without the intention
of purchasing.
But window shopping is the reason, I think, to a lot of people being depressed and unsatisfied in this day and age, because there's continuously, I want this and I want that and I want that. There's so much that we want, our wants don't finish.
Yeah, it doesn't, and they keep updating things or getting a new version.
Yeah.
I think everything nowadays is a new version, isn't it? For example, mobile phones, every year you get a new mobile phone. Although I remember previously when it used to be like, I got the latest phone, and it used to feel like you've got the latest phone for a very, very long time.
Yeah, you would keep it for a few years.
You know, but now every year,
as long as they can.
Yeah, but now every year there's a new phone. So, for example, you might have only just bought a new phone. And after a few months, again, the new phone.
You're marketed to in such a way that if you don't have this, you aren't complete.
Yeah, you basically don't feel like you've got the latest one. Is that the latest one? Oh, no, it's not. Even if it's the latest, it's not the latest. You know, the new, the tablets, also every single year a new one. You know, cars, every, I think, 3 years it comes with cars. Or even number plates change every 6 months, don't they? So this is, in a way, the latest one.
I don't know much about cars.
Yes, so whatever it is, my dear viewers, you know, everything is... How did we get into the Umar? You just brought
on
the
from
topic.
Window shopping.
Yes, from window shopping. So this is what the person's doing. Maybe he has money. You know, maybe that's why his pockets are so large that they're coming out.
Where's the money?
And then there's many, you know, teeth, lips, etc., within the shop. But my dear viewers, let's move to our next segment, which is the daily reminder. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
My dear respected Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani Channel, I want to present something in front of you at the moment. Now today, for example, if you've done a crime, you go to the police station. The police officer is standing in front of you. You tell him that I've did this crime in my life. I've did so and so crime. What is the police officer going to do next? Now, because you've done the crime, he's going to arrest you. That because you've admitted to do that crime, you're going to have to arrest you. You're going to have to interview you. You're going to have to charge you. Then, my dear respected Islamic brothers, you're sitting in court. Now, you have a lot of remorse in your heart for the crime that you have committed. Is the judge going to show you any mercy? No, he isn't. Why? Because you've done the crime. He'll have to punish you. They will have to punish you, my dear respected Islamic brothers. Now this judge, he has presented the sentence that you will have to serve. Now you can cry in front of him as much as you want. You can show as much remorse as you want. But is he going to show any mercy? No, he isn't. Why? Because you've done the crime, you'll have to do the time now. But my dear respected Islamic brothers, this is this world. Let me tell you about the mercy of Allah. Let me tell you about the blessings of Allah. Let me tell you about the rahmah of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, my dear respected Islamic brothers, in Allah Azza wa Jal's court, you admit your sin. You have remorse in your heart. And you promise Allah Azza wa Jal never to do that sin again. Allah will forgive your sin, inshallah. Look at the difference. In this world, you admit your sin, you admit your crime, you have so much remorse in your heart, and you promise the judge, you cry in front of the judge, please don't punish me. They won't show any mercy to you. But my dear Islamic brothers, you admit your sin in the court of Allah. You feel, you have remorse in your heart. And my dear Islamic brothers, you promise Allah never to perform that crime again, never to perform that sin again. And Allah will forgive your sins. So what stops us from doing things? Why do we not repent in the court of Allah? How come we have stopped repenting in the court of Allah? So my dear respected Islamic brothers, ask Allah for forgiveness. Inshallah, Allah will forgive you, inshallah. It's mentioned in a narration that the one who repents is like he hasn't performed that sin. SubhanAllah, this is the blessing of Allah. This is the mercy of Allah, my dear Islamic brothers. So make one intention today that every day, inshallah, we are going to repent in the court of Allah. And as humans, if we do commit a sin, then we will immediately repent in the court of Allah. Why? Because Allah is the most forgiving, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My reviews of Madani, inshallah, alhamdulillah, we're speaking about softness. Generally, you were speaking about being soft.
So, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we've already heard, you know, he practically expressed and showed his soft character. And he was generally known as a very soft-hearted individual. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that this is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is soft-hearted. So, this is mentioned in the glorious Quran. But we were mentioning that there are ways to build softness within yourself. And one of the ways is to keep in mind the excellences of soft character and being soft. So we've already clarified what do we mean by being soft. It doesn't mean that,
right,
you know, your rights are violated or whatever and you can't do anything about it. But more like you know that you could, but you see it fitting that if you just relax and cool down, it would, things in the long run would be better. So the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has said, Sina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man u'tiya hadhahu min al-rifq, faqad u'tiya hadhahu min al-khayr." Whoever was granted his share of softness, then he has been granted a share of goodness. And "Waman hurima hadhahu min al-rifq," and whomsoever was deprived from this softness, then فَقَدْ حُرِمَ حَظَّهُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ, he has been deprived from goodness. So softness has been correlated with goodness in this particular narration. Likewise, the Prophet ﷺ, he says a beautiful hadith that إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَفِيقٌ, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is gentle, overbearing. يُحِبُّ الرِّفْقُ, and he likes gentleness. وَيُعْطِي عَلَيْهِ مَا لَا يُعْطِي عَلَى الْعُنْفِ, and he grants due to softness. He grants for softness which he does not grant at the time of harshness. So this is another beautiful hadith to keep in mind, you know, these excellences of being soft. Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, she narrates that the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, "Inna rifqa la yakunu fi shay'in illa zana." There is softness, whenever it is in something, it automatically beautifies that thing.
Allah, Allah.
When there is softness in something, it beautifies that thing. وَلَا يُنْزَعُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا جَانَ. And if softness is absent from something, it is removed from something, it automatically causes a defect in that thing. So generally, aside from the hadith, if we were to look at anybody, if even the viewers of Madin Channel were to question, who is the person that I like the most? And if you were to think about over their characteristics, it could be because of a smile, because of their gentleness,
Allah,
because
Allah,
of their
Allah,
caring nature. And all of these are qualities of softness. You wouldn't like a person because he has a really bad temper. He lashes out every time I say
Allah,
something.
Allah.
He swears. We say that a person could be the most beautiful looking person, but if he has a really bad character, you're not inclined towards him.
SubhanAllah.
But a person, he may not be so beautiful, but because he has a beautiful smile, you're inclined towards him.
Allah, Allah, Marba, you were mentioning the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, daily we have a special hadith, a hadith of the day. Let's turn to our next segment and
listen to today's hadith. Sallu alil Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu alil Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Rise and Shine, as Muslims, our greatest wealth, our greatest assets is our iman, the correct belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our iman is what makes us a mu'min, a believer. And to live as the best mu'min we can be, this is the objective of our life. In today's daily hadith, through the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will hear of a few characteristics that a mu'min should have. Sayyidina Shu'aib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "How wonderful is the affair of the believer! Inna amruhu kulluhu khayr, for there is good in every affair of his. Wa laysa dhalika li ahadin illa lil mu'min." And this is not the case for anyone else except for a believer, except for a mu'min. In asabathu sarra'u shakara fakana khayran lahu. If something good happens to him, then he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in this there is goodness for him. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّاءُ صَبَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. And if anything bad happens to him, then he bears it with patience, and again there is goodness in it for him. Subhanallah. This hadith, my dear Islamic brothers, is educating us that the affairs and the actions of a true believer ought to be righteous and good. In fact, all our life is spent in the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and portions of it may be spent facing adversities and calamities, again from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But a believer has the upper hand in life, that upon something good happening to him, he is able to express gratitude and thankfulness and add himself onto the list of the shakirin, which results in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granting him more. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you will be thankful, I will give you more. And when a mu'min faces any hardships, any sufferings, then he has the opportunity to endure patience. And through the blessings of enduring patience, he becomes from the category of sabirin. And undoubtedly, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَا sabirin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the patient people. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to strive to become the best mu'min we can be. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Now we did have today's picture because we don't have very long left, Amar bhai. 1,000 words, I'll count down.
I think we touched upon it when we were discussing, you know, how you're marketed to. So this is like, if you look at, observe the clothing of a person. He has patches. He seems like he's not well off. So, but he's eyeing all of these different teeth or smiles. So it's in essence, he wants so much, and yet his own state, if you look at the state of his clothing, the pockets are turned inside out, that means he has no money to buy it. So there could be a few things. Firstly, does he need those? And if so, does he need all of those? That's one point. Second is the fact that you pointed out his mouth doesn't have, he doesn't seem to have a mouth, he's just covered up. So that's not really, like, normally that's not normal for a person to not have that, but maybe he feels as though he doesn't have that, because he has, because he wants something better. All of these things that presented in front of us as shiny objects that we must have.
Right.
And even though, whether we can't afford them or not, but we want them. So that's one way we were speaking about marketing. The second thing was that for him, somebody could win his heart or make his day better, even though physically he doesn't seem like a person that is well off. but somebody could make his day better by giving him a smile, any one of the smiles. And however, in this day and age, in our society, we've stopped smiling. If a person smiles, they're sometimes, not always, I don't think you could generalize this, but a lot of the times, who are we nice to, who are we smiling to, is because we have a personal motive behind it. So right. That could be the reason for having a tag on that smile, that it comes at a cost. I'll smile, but I want this in return.
Right.
I'll smile because I'll get this in return. So those sincere smiles and that sincere empathy and showing being sympathetic towards a person, I think that's what is missing in the society.
Right. MashaAllah, brilliant explanations. We don't have that much time, many viewers of Madani Channel. Sadly, our time has come to a close. Alhamdulillah, there are many things we have learned today. First, we spoke a little about Hajj, about our main topic, which was softness, being kind, being soft. And you should be soft, especially to your own family, especially to the mother of your children, to your own children themselves, to your brothers, to your sisters, you know, to your parents, to your mother, to your father, to your grandparents, for those that also have grandparents. Be soft, be kind, be nice to each and every individual. And inshallah, things would be a lot better, wouldn't they?
That fundamental point we said, keep in mind, what is the reason, what is the purpose behind me speaking? If you're speaking, then definitely think of the best way to speak.
Anyway, Jazakallahu Khaira Amar Bhai, again may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly bless you. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, Rise and Shine is brought to you. Yes, it's brought to you, Amar Bhai, each and every single weekday. So please do join us again tomorrow. For now, that's all. Continue to remain positive, remain happy, keep a smile on your face. It doesn't cost. Don't worry, and rise and shine. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine. By the grace of Allah.